Hi everyone, this episode is going to exceed the 60-minute length that we normally adhere to. We just had a lot to say. I'm also here to let you know that we're going to be taking a break during the Memorial Day weekend. After that, we'll be back to our normal schedule of a new episode every other week. I'm also going to confess to confusing the production notes with Dalek and The Long Game. If you listen to both of these episodes when they're out, you'll see that it's actually one long conversation. Enjoy! Hello and welcome to Who Knew? We are fans of the current series of Doctor Who, where we discuss our likes, dislikes, and insights of this current incarnation of the series. Today's episode is called Dalek. It is episode 6 in series 1. And this is the episode where Rose and the Doctor follow a distress call to a surprising source, a Dalek. This episode first aired on the 30th of April, 2005. It is written by Robert Shearman, directed by Joe Ahearn, produced by Phil Collinson, and then executive produced by Russell T. Davies, Julie Gardner, and Mal Young. Thanks again to Michael Grady for our wonderful theme music. And my name is Eugene. I'll be the moderator for today's episode. And let's go around the table.
Yes. And my name is Kelsey, and I'm here. This is my third episode that I'm giving my lovely commentary to.
We're lovely to have you.
My name is Auburn, and this is my sixth episode to give my commentary to.
Hi, my name is Brian, and I've been here for all of them.
Hello, this is Frank.
Hi, I'm Arlene, and I don't know how many I've done.
Hi, this is Josh.
Yeah, I was told there would be no math.
Well, let's get started with the math. This episode raked in the viewership of 7.73 million viewers in the overnight. And it was also before broadcast, the media watchdog organization, MediaWatch-UK, complained about certain elements of this episode, characterizing Van Staten's chaining and torture of the Doctor as sadomasochistic.
Please.
And they also the invitation to Adam and Rose to canoodle or spoon, or whatever you British do, quote unquote. Also, they deemed it as inappropriate sexual language.
Oh, my.
Are you kidding?
What are you talking about?
We'll get to that later.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
What show are they watching?
I don't know. Anyway, the TARDIS materializes in the year 2012, which is Rose's future because she is in the year 2006.
It was also the future of the audience at the time.
At the time, yes. But today it is our past. Because today is 2015, not 2012.
Sure.
Wibbly wobbly.
So materializing in 2012, inside an underground bunker in Utah, the Doctor and Rose discover a museum of alien artifacts 53 stories below ground level. They look through the exhibits and wonder where the distress call they heard came from. An alarm goes off and they quickly are captured by heavily armed men.
It's fun because you see a Cyberman.
Yes, that's right. Before that, we see the Cyberman head.
And we see a Cyberman head from the previous incarnation.
Right. From the classic show.
And I think that is also cool.
Yeah. This is the episode where they're really tying the classic series in with the current.
Yeah, I remember seeing
that. I like
that
a lot.
Yeah. And I remember seeing that and him looking at the head of the Cyberman and going, old friend, more like an old enemy.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, what's the story behind that?
I also thought, too, this is the first show, the first episode so far that kind of starts off kind of dark or a more just a serious tone. Mm-hmm. They're in the museum. They're not joking around. They're not talking about Cardiff or anything like that.
Yeah.
And he gets serious quickly, and then all of a sudden the alarm goes off. And I'd have to think back, but it struck me as the first time it's not like a fun opening. It's very interesting, and it's kind of geeky fun because you see all those artifacts.
Yeah, I think it's also playing fan service at this point.
Yeah. But it definitely was a change in tone. Mm-hmm.
The opening for this episode was also the driest in terms of music, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We start in silence after they get into the museum, and music doesn't really kick in until the guards come in.
Yeah.
And does anyone notice the helicopter? What they said? Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay, we'll get there.
And among the other things, they're also a Slitheen arm and part of a Roswell spaceship.
Now, is it Slitheen?
Slitheen.
Or is it just a Raxacoracal Preparatorian arm? Because we learned from
that's right.
It's a Sarah Jane that there were others on the planet. So
you never know.
They are then brought to the owner of the collection, a Mr. Henry Van Stanton, an extremely rich and powerful man who claims to own the internet. And I don't know, is he related to Al Gore, anybody? Anyway.
You wait for that all week?
Well, this is time travel, so I've only been waiting for it a couple minutes. You people reacted inappropriately to that joke. We also meet his assistant, Diana Goddard, and main technician Adam Mitchell, a young British genius who studies the extraterrestrial objects. Since the Doctor is familiar with alien technology, Van Stanton takes him to see his living specimen, which he has named a Metaltron. At the same time, Adam escorts Rose to his laboratory to show her some of the other items he's secretly working on.
I'd like to start. The first time that we see Van Straten,
Staten
walking down the aisle, you know, he's there with a lot of energy. He has all the answers. He is, you know, in command of the situation. I almost think they set him up as a possible, like a reflection of what the Doctor could be. Like if he had more bravado, if this was an American show, this is very easily like the Doctor's attitude, like come in, don't take any prisoners.
And then fire somebody right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'll play throughout the episode, him being kind of a anti-Doctor.
Mm. I did notice that too. I agree with that. Because he does say people are just expendable, usable. You know, he has so much power that he can just rearrange who the president is and wipe people's memories when he's done with them and throw them away.
And the Doctor Democrats could be like funny. That.
Yes, Democrats are so funny. But the Doctor could do that. You could see that later on. I don't want to give too many spoilers away. That he could cross that line at some point, and he's not going to.
The world. The Doctor is always manipulating the world to a certain extent.
So it is the same coin, kind of the two faces going, you know, which is interesting, which is a good point on Van Stanton.
Yes.
I'm also glad that they got an American to play this character.
Instead of a guy doing an American accent.
Yeah, because a couple of the other people, it's just kind of like, fire, they're really working on those R's.
Do we think that the woman was American?
Diana Goddard.
Yeah, I didn't hear her. She didn't sound British underneath all that, but
we will look that up right now.
Like some of the military guys were definitely British doing American accents.
Well, yeah, that's Central Casting Military Academy.
It was just funny.
Whatever that it is over there.
Yeah, and this is also where we get the first reference to Bad Wolf in this episode with the helicopter.
In this episode,
yeah. Coming down. And Bad Wolf Count, is this no.
I think it might have been in every episode.
It wasn't in the pilot.
It wasn't
in
the pilot.
This is
the fifth reference to the Bad Wolf. For those of you following along at home, which I don't know where else you'd be following.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, I do believe she is English.
Well, there you go. Well, she did a good job.
She did a great job.
Good for you, lady.
And Maggie Smith is her mother-in-law.
Get out of here.
Well,
that's probably why she's just doing a Maggie Smith impersonation.
I see the resemblance.
Everybody can imitate their mother-in-law. That ain't hard.
I like the character, but I couldn't figure out her. You know, was she on the Doctor side, Van Stanton's side, her own side?
Well, at the end we find out, but you don't know until
then. At
this
point, yeah.
But throughout the episode, she seems to emote different feelings. It's like either, well, I don't want to get too much. We'll get to it as we go along.
Maybe she's on the audience side.
There you go.
Ooh. Yeah, I kind of wondered that.
Like she's us.
She's us, yeah.
And then we get a little scene, like a little, what do you want to call it? A little scuffle between, or testing of, just a little fight.
Testosterone?
Yeah, with the Doctor and Van Stanton, as he has this thing in his hands that he doesn't know what to do with, and the Doctor's like, you have to be gentle, it's a musical instrument. And then we show, I think this is a great storytelling point, because Van Stanton is able to replicate and even add to the instrument.
He's actually able to do it.
Yeah, and almost do it better.
Yeah.
And then he just throws it away.
Yeah, I was really happy that he was actually able to do it.
And impress the doctor.
It's like he values it but doesn't respect it.
Well, it's not a weapon.
It shows his, that Van Staten is skilled.
Yeah.
He's not just an idiot.
But
right. With power. That's true. That's a good point.
You know, that Van Staten knows.
There's something to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not just some cardboard cutout of a villain.
Yeah,
for the episode.
Exactly. Although, but yeah, I mean, he is pretty cardboard, but yeah.
But then he realizes it's a musical instrument. It's not a weapon and throws it away.
But I feel like it's like what they were saying about Americans in general. Who cares about the arts? Who cares about all these wonderful things? All I care about is something to destroy and make me better and make more money.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
So I felt like it's like, yeah, this is my opinion on American people. And
yeah.
That's about it.
Does anybody recognize that actor from the Van Staten, who played Van Staten?
He's done stuff.
He was the guy. He was in Hellboy. There
you go. That's yes, most actors do other roles.
But yes, he was in Hellboy. I remember that. He was like the right hand.
Yeah, he was the guy to Hellboy.
Yeah. The handler, I guess,
yes.
Is what you call him.
Yes. He was also the helicopter pilot in Ex Machina.
Oh. We have our own theories about what happened to that helicopter pilot.
We do.
I think he died. Anyway, so the doctor is locked up into an unlit room where the Metaltron is chained up. After offering to help the creature and identifying himself as the doctor, it is revealed that the creature is a Dalek. The Dalek attempts to shoot the doctor, but it has no power. The doctor tells the Dalek that he has destroyed the entire Dalek race and means that this one is all alone. I enjoyed how they covered this.
Yeah, it was the first time you see the doctor frightened, or terrified at least.
Yeah.
He goes through a lot of emotions at this point.
And the way they cover it, they keep a close-up of him with the Dalek in the background. And it's always focused on Eccleston's eyes. And it's really powerful. Because there's a lot of exposition, but a lot of emotion.
Yeah, this is a really good case of storytelling exposition. Like you said, there's lots of emotions in it. Also, the cinematography is great. Yeah. And it's also a really good example of where practicals really make a difference.
Yeah.
Like Eccleston's performance to this being that's it's there but not
there.
Alive
yeah.
is amazing. And I don't think you would have gotten that with a CGI Dalek.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, that's also, I don't know if we get to there, but once the thing starts moving around and just how slowly paced, it's a real... like Mike Myers, like Halloween type of suspense. It's not where it's just slowly threatening, like that whole the zombie scare, not that something's chasing us scare. Mm-hmm. Whereas as the show goes on, you see more of the Daleks in other episodes. It's sort of the same thing, but they are more of a physical, obvious physical threat.
Yeah.
So I was, it's, you know, going back and watching this older episode, it really struck me how slow paced it was. Mm-hmm. In a good way.
Yo, I'm agreeing
with you.
But
it was like, wow, they're just, they're milking this.
Yeah.
I kind of wish the name of the episode was Metaltron or something other than Dalek.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like that could have been a great scene that
we
would have picked that up for those of who have seen the other incarnation of the Doctor.
There was also a lot of controversy because the promo that was tagged on the end of last week.
Yeah.
Showed that it was a Dalek.
It gave too much away.
Yeah, and a lot of people were very upset about that. I think Russell Davies was upset about that, too. It was like, you just gave away the whole thing, but you named the episode Dalek.
Yeah. But I remember watching this for the first time and not knowing what a Dalek was. I was just so interested, like, fascinated. What is this thing? Why
you heard of Daleks before?
No, not before this episode.
Really?
Me neither. It sort of looked familiar to me because I didn't watch the old incarnation, but... his performance, like his terrification, you know, him being so terrified really sold like the, took away the silliness of what it looks like.
And then
they even made a joke about the plunger when it plunged the guy's face.
Well, that's a classic series thing because the plunger was never used for anything, I don't
know. Oh,
think.
Not at all?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Not every Dalek had the plunger, but it was always a joke.
And then they used it to for the keypad, like R2-D2. Like,
yeah.
It made it work. It was like, if a kid built this thing, and this is what this does, and this is what this does. And I kind of got into the fun of that. But yeah, I liked how it legitimized these things that I was sort of familiar with the old series, but thought it looked silly.
And I think I read that this episode was the reason Eccleston signed on for the series.
Oh, really?
And I want to say it's almost that this is the scene that he signed on for.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's...
he goes through every emotion.
Yeah, it shows a lot.
Would explain why he stopped doing it then.
So the Dalek asks about the Time Lords and finds out that the Doctor is also the last of his kind. The Doctor decides to exterminate the Dalek, but Van Staten's people stop him. Since the Dalek won't speak to Van Staten, he orders one of his scientists, Simmons, to continue torturing it to make it talk.
Yeah, can we go back to talk about the Time War a little bit?
How much do we learn right now about the Time War?
Well, the Dalek is learning that
his side lost the war.
He doesn't know.
But you know what? Making me think.
We as an audience, what did we know at this point?
We didn't know anything.
We knew a little bit. We knew something had happened.
We knew there was a war.
We knew he was the last of the Time Lords.
Yeah, but we didn't know exactly what happened.
Now we know it was a war between the Daleks and the Time
Lords. And what he did.
And that it was him.
I think now, it's just making me realize now, what's cool about the writing of this is that we're learning about it with the antagonist. There's not like a third party character who's supposed to be the audience. It's like, mm-hmm. I think that's why it works so well, because...
He's not telling a companion.
He's actually having an argument with the antagonist that means something, and it's also all expository, but it's also essential to the plot. That's really cool.
Something I've always been confused as a viewer, not having watched any of the old series, is when did the Time War take place in the Doctor Who timeline? If we're stretching between the original series and the reboot.
Right in between.
Okay.
Because it was not in the classic series.
Okay, no.
It was a shock to classic Who fans. It was a huge shock.
Yes.
I mean, it would be as if they did a Star Trek show. Oh, they could in the near future. Where the Federation, you know, you start a new episode of Star Trek and the Federation's gone. Yeah, there's no Federation anymore.
It's a big deal to have no...
There's no Earth.
No Daleks and...
Wait, what?
And no Time Lords? That's almost like no Federation, no Klingons.
Yeah, no Federation, no Klingons. They're all gone. Or
I guess the Borg in this case.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so the Time War just happened, and the Doctor that we meet in the pilot, in Rose, is a soldier who just ended the war by blowing up both sides.
Yes.
He's the only survivor.
Yes.
And now in this episode, he finds out that someone from the other side, the enemy... also survived, and he's re-confronted with that massive decision that he made of blowing up his race and the other side's race. Okay,
yes.
That adds so much.
Yeah.
Sheds so much light onto this episode, and this happened to be the first episode that I ever watched.
Mm. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
And didn't like. So,
well, he came really?
Because
this
I came
the first
into
episode
it.
You watched, or the first episode you didn't like?
Oh, the first episode I ever watched. Oh.
Of this series, because she watched the other stuff.
Well, my parents watched the original.
But to be fair, you did come into the Dalek episode not from the beginning.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh. Well, when did you come in?
I think I walked into this episode like 10 minutes in. Oh. Like my boyfriend was watching it, and I walked in the living room. What are you watching? Oh, watch this with me. Okay. I know Doctor Who. My parents watched it. Like, yeah.
Right.
Oh, this is not your parents, Doctor Who.
Right. Yeah.
I'm surprised to hear that from Brian.
No, and then the...
Why?
You don't like me saying that to you?
Oh, I know.
No, but the whole episode with the try to figure out when the Time War was, I have been watching for how many years, and I just figured it out like 2 weeks ago that the Time War was right before the series.
Yeah, yes, I figured it out watching this episode. I was like, oh, wait.
So if I'm not mistaken, what he did to end the Time War is what killed him to regenerate him.
See, that's what I thought.
Well,
that's what I
thought. We don't know that.
We don't know that for a fact.
But from watching this episode the first time, that's what I thought.
You know, there's little... And they didn't know either. But they were putting in little hints. Like in the pilot, he's looking at his face going, wow, I've got big ears.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'd never seen himself in the mirror before. So they were suggesting that he was recently regenerated. Although if you were a completely new fan, you wouldn't know what regeneration is yet anyway.
That's true.
But, you know, I think they're kind of figuring it out as they went along. You know, we've since had it pretty well mapped out. up to today.
Yeah.
Of what happened during the Time War.
So do you also think this doctor is suffering from PTSD?
Yes, very much okay. So.
Also survivors.
Just by the way he reacts.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, like, rewatching this episode, the doctor is just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he's just... And I think that says, like, for someone watching the episode, watching the show for the very first time, and this is my first episode, like a crazy out of his mind doctor is not that appealing. But,
by the end of the episode, we haven't gotten there yet, but by the end of the episode, he gets pulled back by the humanity of Rose. Mm-hmm. So there's a redemption there.
This is the first time we see him wanting to kill something.
Yes. But he's crazy, but so's the Dalek. So they're, again, there's another two sides of the same coin.
It's like a dysfunctional
marriage.
Because
the Dalek went crazy getting pulled out of the Time War because it shouldn't have been able to.
Mm-hmm. But I also don't think that this is the first time we see him wanting to kill someone. He kills Clarissa, what's her name? The skin thing?
He allows her to die.
He just allows her to
he
tie her own
kills
noose.
Her.
But that one was more justified. You can kind of brush that one aside. This one is like
he's maniacal.
Full on anger and vengeance towards something else.
It's justified too to kill a Dalek. They're a horrible race.
But at this point, we don't know what they are. So I think it's great that we don't know why he hates them so
right.
much.
Well, the other episode was like poetic justice.
Yeah.
Well, the other episode, Cassandra, we know what she's done. Mm-hmm. So we have that information here. You just see a Dalek that they've been torturing.
Well, also this
and he wants to kill him, and you don't know why if you're new to this.
Well, also, this Dalek is almost, he's a soldier. He's not, like, in high command. So he's just following orders and looking for more orders. So he's almost a pawn in this bigger Time War. So I think that's what makes him
I mean, he like, pulls the lever to electrocute the Dalek, which makes the Dalek scream. So you're torturing the Dalek. He didn't go and rip Cassandra to shreds.
I mean, her death was going to be instant.
You know, I mean, he didn't pick away at, layers of skin.
And the reason she did blow up was because she made it so hot in there. Mm-hmm. So it was her own actions that kind of did it, and he just let that
it's
happen.
A little different.
And she's not dead. Oh, sorry.
Spoilers.
No, and then going back to watch this episode with the Dalek, I finally realized, because the whole time watching Doctor Who, especially with this episode, I'm like, why are you so afraid of this tin can? But going back after seeing what's happened and going back and watching this episode makes me feel like, oh, this is a very evil character. And these are things that you should be afraid of. I felt like it was explained and kind of spelled out really well, except for like a viewer with the naked eye who's never seen one before. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a box or it's...
Yeah. Well, as the episode goes on, you see how dangerous it is. But when you see him be all that afraid, you're right. You don't know. Like, well, how could this thing be dangerous? But then you see it.
But I think it plays into that whole relentless one focused one...
Determinator.
Yeah. It's just it's a race that's just focused to one thing and it won't ever stop. It's zombies. Mm-hmm. It's the Borg. It's Cybermen. It's just they're relentless. They won't stop, and all they want to do is kill you. And yeah, it looks like a salt shaker,
pepper pot.
Yeah, pepper pot. That's
what you said. I'm being American.
Also, I wanted to point out this is just something totally different, but the blue lights are always present in this version of Doctor Who. Like the sonic screwdriver is blue. The Dalek's eye stalk is blue. I think they just love blue lighting. Like the...
Aren't the Dalek eye stalks always blue? Mm-hmm.
But this one was more like when you see the black room, the dark room, and then all of a sudden there's just this blue light.
Oh, yeah.
It's very like blue, pointing out blue.
Sad.
Maybe.
I did like it when the Doctor really was like getting up into its eye stalk.
Yeah.
And so the blue was shining on his face.
Yeah, that was great. And you can't have that without a practical... standard.
No, yeah, totally.
It works.
And the other thing I liked about it, which I just noticed when we watched it today, is that scene where they're in that intense close-up, and wow, my microphone's blue. the Dalek says something, and you can see the reflection of his lights in his eye stalk. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, practical. You wouldn't have thought it, you wouldn't get that from digital. No. Or you might, but...
But it'd be hard.
It would cost money.
Yeah, those are happy accidents.
So now... The story moves into another tone where Rose and Adam are flirting in his office.
So awkward.
Yeah. Adam hacks into the comm system to show Rose the creature, the Metaltron.
Why was it awkward?
It was I just don't like the guy.
Why?
Are you jealous? No, it was just them just flirting, young people. And
yeah, I don't know. He seemed like a little boy. And even though she's supposed to be 19, she just seemed like a woman, a young woman.
Well, partly because she's seen things. She's gone and traveled. And he's talking about all this. This is real. I'm just figuring out all of this alien stuff is real. And she is treating them a little like a kid. That's nice, dear. Yes, yeah. I could see that being real. Yeah. Just like when a kid discovers something on his own.
Hairdryer, that's lovely.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like the guy.
Well, speaking of Adam, he asks Rose about the doctor, and she says, "We're just friends at this point." I find that interesting that they went on a date.
Well, she's very defensive about it.
Yeah. Anyway, then
but they are just friends. No, but they are.
No, I know. All right. I'm just saying that there's. Anyway.
She made sure that Adam knew that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
That is true, yes.
So back to what's going on. Adam hacks into the comm systems to show Rose the feed from that room where the doctor has now been removed from. And this guy, Simmons, is torturing the Dalek. So they see this.
They're showing you again Rose's curiosity. Because it's Rose that wants to, you know, Rose is like, this alien tech is wonderful. What's the live alien?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. So she's the one who instigates
that. Is this where before she goes in, he's like, don't get too close. And the first thing she does is get too close.
No, this is before they do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we cut to Van Stanton because he realizes that the doctor is unique and has him tied up and begins painful examination/torture. Van Stanton reveals that he has made his fortune from alien technology he has found on Earth. And the doctor warns him that the Dalek will kill everyone on the planet if it is not destroyed. Van Stanton doesn't believe him and continues to torture the Dalek. The doctor. I find it's interesting that Van Stanton is almost reverse engineering certain alien artifacts and things and making his fortune off of other people's, like, it's almost like a parasite.
Yeah, you got Wi-Fi from the Roswell
broadband.
Oh, I didn't catch that. They say that in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they got the cure for the common cold.
Which would be particularly interesting to you guys.
Yes, I would really like to have that cure right now. But they found the cure to the common cold in the Tunguska Russian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
Prayer. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because part of me was wondering.
He's such a businessman because I could totally see a businessman going, I have the cure for the common cold. And I'm not going to tell anybody.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they really do. Because I was curious as to what is he doing to the doctor? Is it just some maniacal evil thing for television? Or like, is there some thought behind why it hurt? Like what? Why is it hurt? You know, why does
it's invasive probes.
Right. Well,
It seems to be other alien technology that is not meant to care about the patient.
Right.
It is an invasive probe. I mean, it's hurting him to divulge that he has two hearts and what's going on.
It's like laser Floyd.
Ben Stanton doesn't care. It doesn't care if he hurts you.
It was the rejected plans for the MRI that didn't make it through.
Right.
Oh, I was going to say this was another awesome like cinematography scene. We have super close-ups on the doctor sweating and seeing Van Stratton?
Statton.
Sorry, I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and so this guy is like my Hydra leader in my head. But yeah, just a wonderful scene. Shot very well. Lots of nice close-ups on that emotion from the doctor.
I like how the doctor tells Van Stanton that the Dalek is better than you. The Dalek is at least truth.
Yeah.
And,
right.
What he wants. And Van Stanton's just a user and is nothing.
Right.
And doesn't face Van Stanton at all because he feels he's invincible. Mm-hmm. He has the power. It doesn't matter.
All right. So at this point, Rose and Adam go to see the Dalek, who tells them it is dying. In a moment of sympathy, Rose touches the Dalek and it instantly accesses her genetic material. This causes cellular reconstruction and allows it to break free. As it kills Simmons, another technician initiates a condition red, and as it kills Simmons, this is where the plunger. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Sucker me to death?
Yes, right. Yes, actually, yes.
That was great.
And I think
it's when Rose is talking to the Dalek, and the Dalek is all
depressed. I am in pain.
Yeah,
you know all that. Frank and I were talking earlier. Is the Dalek playing Rose?
Yeah, I don't know, because I thought that something was weird too, because it seemed sad. This is before Rose touched it.
Yes.
It seemed sad. It seemed lost. It seemed to have an emotion besides hate. So,
well, remember, it's insane at this point. So it could be.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's also been tortured for who knows how long.
So like years. You know, I could still see what it was saying to Rose being true.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Rose said, I have a friend here who can help you. So the Dalek knows she's connected to the doctor. So is the Dalek in some way like trying to get her sympathy to touch him?
Yes, totally.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I don't think we realize. I mean, for me as watching it, I didn't realize that until at the end of the episode.
Of course, yeah.
At first, I thought it was just a coincidence that she touched it and it. But then later I was like, oh, no, that she said, I'm here. I have a friend who can help you. His name's the doctor. And then the Dalek started talking to her.
Right.
Help me. Because before it wasn't. Rose walked in and was like, hi, can I help you? Are you in pain?
The old silent treatment.
Yeah. No. And then I have a friend. He's called the doctor. And then the Dalek started talking to her. So, yeah, it was manipulating Rose. Yeah. Absolutely.
He was a manipulative Dalek. That's so cool. Sorry.
But on the flip side, I think it's cool that Rose is still reaching out to somebody.
Yeah.
Like
she's always looking to help somebody, whoever it is.
Yeah, like that blue plumber person in the end of the world.
And then even the psychic gal in the
Gwyneth. The Unquiet Dead.
Yeah.
It just so happens that in the episode Dalek, she's talking to a Dalek.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't know. So I don't know.
And I also, do you think when I was watching this, I was like, it really is the doctor's fault that Rose didn't know who the Dalek was.
Thank you.
Because the doctor could have explained to Rose what he just had been through, this big time war against the Daleks.
Earlier. I'm thinking earlier. There should be a companion 101. Hi, welcome to the TARDIS. This is where your room is. By the way, if you ever see this, or this, run.
Now, all the Daleks are supposed to be destroyed.
Yes, that's what I was going
to
say.
So there's no reason for him to tell her about this at the beginning.
Just like
he had no time because he's being tortured on his own. So he had no time after the fact that he figured out that the Metaltron's a Dalek.
Yeah, but I'm thinking just more about when they're just traveling through space and she's asking him questions.
He doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I know, and that's his fault. That's
true. That is
and
true.
I'm
that,
just saying that's yeah. the, that's his
he
fault.
Has,
that
he has PTSD.
But he's been around for quite a long time, and to fill in on every alien and situation that might come up.
The whole idea of the Doctor was exploring things as they're happening. Cybermen and the Daleks.
But wouldn't the TARDIS do it? It can translate all these languages. Wouldn't want to put that into the companion's brain? Stupid TARDIS.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Well, we're going to learn about having some chip in your brain coming up in the next episode, so we'll leave it for that one.
Okay. The Doctor tells Van Staten to release him if he wants to live. He does, and together they go to the control room. The Dalek uses a computer to drain the power and the internet from the entire western half of the United States, giving it enough energy to repair itself.
And the Dalek cleans up really good.
Oh, yeah.
I love the look of this Dalek.
The CG was done well for this.
No, but even the practical, once all cleaned up, it's and shiny. It's the brass and the gold, this is a really good version of a Dalek.
And, you know, watching the older versions, too, it's a nice transition. It's not too different. It's enough retro that you can see, like, they're fans of the old series. So after the Dalek repairs itself, Rose and Adam run, but the Dalek follows them.
Slowly.
And levitatingly. Because this is the first time we get that with the stairs. And this was done for kids where, like, you can just defeat a Dalek by going through a stairwell. Well, then this is one of the instances where they...
Yeah, it's not the first time.
Yes. Yeah. But the first time in this...
Yes. Well, it's the first time we've seen a Dalek. But But yeah, they did the old joke of, to get away from a Dalek, you just go to stairs. And the Dalek just levitates and
continues to kill people.
Just like in RoboCop, Ed 209 is defeated by a flight of stairs.
But I think the first time they did it was the Seventh Doctor. I think it was Remembrance of Daleks. They had him levitate. He levitated up an elevator shaft, I believe.
Yeah, the first part of the 1988 serial, Remembrance of the Daleks.
They did stare at it for quite a long time, something they're running away from.
Yeah.
And it could have still shot him.
Huh?
So it could have still shot them from that distance. Yeah. So
then the episode would have been shorter.
Well, watching it again, because I did have that same idea. It really isn't that long mm-hmm. of a wait.
No, it's not. But it's still, you're running away from something, you know, with horror. The second you realize it could still come get you, you run.
Well, why only stop at the first flight? Why don't you keep going and go? You can't go.
I mean, it's TV logic, but it was, you know.
I also wanted to point out the female security guard that stays with them. She needs to bring her A game. I am not believing what she is doing. It just seems very flat.
Oh, she didn't act it well?
Yeah, like she's giving the Dalek orders. Van Stanton will broker something with you if you agree to surrender now. It just seems very...
Well, it's hard to do an American accent.
Oh, that could be it.
I don't know. I liked that character. When I was watching that scene, the thing that I thought of was like, oh, the doctor would like this person. Like, yes. If the doctor was in this scene,
absolutely,
he would point out what an awesome human she is.
He'd say her first name and her last name and call her some...
Yeah.
Nice thing.
I just wanted a
brilliant,
more present actor with more...
I thought she did fine on that. I mean, I thought just storyline of her staying behind, trying to stop it...
Or maybe they did
was
that.
Was a waste. And maybe it's like, you know it's a waste. It's not working. No matter how many bullets. They don't know about the eye stalk being the weakest part yet.
Well, maybe they did cast her to go with the B-horror movie aspect of the episode.
Well, yeah. I think they just needed...
Somebody.
They need to keep having sacrifices so the end meant more.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just...
We also see for the first time the Dalek, when they shoot people, you get that awesome skeleton effect.
Mm.
I mm-hmm. love that effect. To this day, I think that's one of their best effects. And the bullets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that a carryover from the original? Okay.
I want to say it is, but they improved upon it because they would do the negative when you would get hit by a laser beam shot. Yeah. But they never did the skeleton, and I think they just added that, and it made it better.
One thing I did not like that's running throughout the episode was that they go to a minor chord and then back up in the music. I guess to show that the Dalek is insane, kind of sound that just was overplayed in my point of view.
I never heard it, and I'm never not.
No, sorry.
I know what he's talking
sorry
about.
Sorry to all those people listening.
They do it a lot. It's all over
this episode.
And I think it's at this point when I said, okay, enough of that. I got it at the beginning, but it just starts irritating at this point.
The Dalek tells the Doctor that it will revert to its original mission of destruction since there are no other Daleks to issue orders. The Doctor tells the Dalek to follow one order, die. And the Dalek's response is amazing. Anybody?
You would make a good Dalek.
See? I think that's a great reversal as far as the Doctor's journey as a character at this point.
And when you see the look on his face when he hears it.
Yeah.
Well, before this, I think we have the part where the Doctor tells them to give guns to everybody, mm-hmm. including the scientists.
Lawyers. Yeah, that's right. And you see some of those scientists.
Lawyers.
Yeah. But what the Doctor was saying to the Dalek here, I think he was also saying internally, like everything you stood for is gone. You know, the Doctor has just wiped out two races. And this was a character that... you know, felt himself, like called himself the Doctor or however he got that name. You know, he was a healer or he is a healer, but he is still grappling with like the destruction that he has wrought on the Daleks and the Time Lords. So a lot of his conversation there to the Dalek, I was imagining that's what he's been saying internally this whole season. Like everything you stood for is gone. Why don't you just die? Kill yourself.
What is the point of you?
Yeah. Right.
What's the point of your existence? And maybe the Dalek is his own whipping boy, emotional whipping boy.
Yeah.
Oh, some projection. Oh. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Digital projection.
In the scene where the Dalek comes to all of the people trying to stop him in the all those
the warehousey thing,
right?
Yeah,
we're up to that. That already happened. Yeah. Okay. It seemed really different to have the Daleks think the process out of turning on the sprinklers and just shooting once to electrocute everybody, rather than just what a Dalek usually would do, just shoot, shoot, shoot. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, is that part of Rose's ingenuity, Rose's part that's already, you know, altering the Dalek?
It was a fire alarm, and we've seen Rose pull those fire alarms.
or maybe is it that the Dalek has found renewed life and is almost relishing in how to kill these humans?
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a great scene. I loved it, but yeah. I was wondering, you know, would a Dalek do that or not?
Yeah.
It just seemed...
I like the idea that it is Rose's influence.
Mm. Yeah, because you've never really seen a Dalek think and process something. They're just...
Mm-hmm. They're just doing.
Doing.
Executing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're moving forward and executing. Exterminate. And even with the Daleks saying other things and exterminate or...
Levitate.
Or even the whole, as soon as they hear the name of the doctor, to be playing that... sympathy kind of card, like, oh, I'm hurting, I'm in pain. And like before in any other episode that you see with a Dalek, they're just saying, as soon as they hear doctor, they're like, exterminate, you know, so.
Even in this, that's what woke up the Dalek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Says, you're the doctor. Doctor, kill, kill. That's all he wanted to do.
So I feel like even though he did take some of Rose's DNA, I think part of the going insane...
Right.
Brought some of its own emotions back. Because before, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know a lot, but before the Daleks were in their little tin cans, they were emotional beings, right?
Yeah. True.
They were the Khalids.
Maybe because it was broken, it started becoming more of its self.
Well, yeah, totally.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that the thing when it comes, the Dalek comes through that warehousey place, it looked like a Terminator. It's like moving forward one, and then it angles towards the soldiers, and it just keeps moving forward. I don't know. Very horror-like.
Yeah, they show the bullets disintegrating in the shield.
Yeah.
What year was The Matrix?
98, 99.
All right.
Yeah.
It wasn't new.
We haven't gotten there yet, but.
Going to wait?
When the bulk, yeah.
Okay. The doctor tells Van Staten to seal the lower levels of the complex, and I believe he calls them bulkheads. Adam makes it through a closing bulkhead, there we go, but Rose does not. The Dalek shoots at her, but for some reason it misses, but the doctor sees this as Rose is dead. And I remember watching this thinking, no, we can't lose Rose right now. it was very well done the way they did it.
That was when the bulkhead comes down and Rose turns and the Dalek's coming around the corner. That's when it's like, okay, it's a silly looking pepper pot. Oh God, it's still coming.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it is, you kind of get that relentless feel. And this is a really, I always think of a really geeky reference. It's like, I'm programmed to win, Rose, which is a bionic woman thing. Yeah, I'm programmed to win, Jamie.
So the Dalek shoots and misses. And it cannot kill Rose because it is now feeling what she feels. Part of Rose was transferred to the Dalek along with her genetic material. The Dalek tells the doctor that it will kill Rose unless the bulkhead is reopened. And the doctor complies. As the doctor and Adam search for a weapon, Rose and the Dalek find Van Staten. It is going to exterminate him. Rose says that there has to be no more killing, and the Dalek stops.
She says there has to be more than just killing.
Ah, yes, more than just killing.
Because that's all that it's programmed to do, and now that it's feeling, there's more to life, there's more to do than just killing. There's got to be something else you want.
And... she asks it what it wants. The Dalek responds with freedom.
Very un-Dalek.
Un-Dalek. Very,
very un-Dalek.
Yeah.
There's also some part here. I don't know if it's at this point or when the doctor shows up again. There's a music cue that is, I think it might be kind of the Doctor and Rose's romance music cue, but it's the first time you hear it towards the end of this episode around this
I think
time.
It's Rose's theme.
It might be Rose's theme, but yeah. Have we heard Rose's theme before?
Yes.
The first episode. The
first
I love
episode.
Rose's theme.
He really loves Rose's theme.
Is the one with the choir and the voices? That one?
No.
Not
that one?
It's...
No, the Queen of Gallifrey?
Yeah,
no.
Not that one?
Not that one.
It's like sort of like a romantic...
Yeah, that's Rose's theme.
Yeah, but it's very subtle, and it's at the very end of it, mm-hmm. so...
There's another thing. The quick scene in the elevator with Rose and the Dalek is really good. It's really quick, but it's really good where the Dalek is like, why are you still alive? Where the Dalek is like, I don't know what's going on. You should be dead. Mm-hmm. I love that. And Rose just being like, I
don't know. The Rose and the Dalek go to the upper level of the complex where the Dalek shoots a hole in the ceiling, letting in sunlight. The Dalek asks how sunlight feels. It opens up its front casing, letting the sun shine onto its body for the first time in its life. And I think this is the first time we've seen what a Dalek looks like.
This clearly.
Yeah.
Is it in the old series at all?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but not like this.
Not like full-on close-ups of...
Mm-hmm. And also it's been done better. I didn't realize until rewatching it that it was a humanoid face. I always saw the eye as being the center of the face. And now when we're watching it, it's kind of Stephen Hawking-ish where it's tilted sideways and it's right eye. And you can see the eyebrow, the other eyebrow,
so
and the left
eye
is closed.
Yeah.
Goes down to a nose and then the mouth has...
Like it's sealed, but there's
kind of
another
sealed
eye
up.
There.
It's that other part that bubbles up. You can see.
Yeah,
but his head's cocked to one side, and it's just, and you can see the brain. And they are humanoid. They were, and so it was like, how could I have missed that all this time watching it? But I thought it was great and a great design.
And I believe this is the clearest we ever saw them before. But we only ever saw them like, the doctor's like opening up a window and a door, and everyone would look in and go, ooh.
It's more the reaction rather than the close-up.
And you would I think you might have seen like a tentacle fly back and forth.
Yeah.
So.
No, then I just also saw that with that eye closed and the humanoid type thing, it looked like it was atrophied from not moving.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and then the vision, the eye looked like it had like some sort of disease because it was.
Oh, yeah.
Glassed over, there was something, so it's just being in darkness and encased.
Well, it has the one eye stalk. I wonder if we're just winking to look through it, like a microscope.
I don't know. This thing reminded me of Return of the Jedi with Darth Vader wanting to see Luke with his own eyes. I don't know. That's what I thought. The Doctor arrives with a weapon, which is very unlike him, and orders Rose to move out of the way. She refuses. The Doctor says that it has to die. It killed his people and destroyed his home. Rose tells him that this Dalek didn't kill Van Stanton and it couldn't kill her. It's changing.
And this is also where the Dalek asks the Doctor, what am I?
Yeah.
Right? And what am I becoming? And
what am I changing into?
Right. And I think that's the thesis statement of this episode and maybe even of this season. Of Doctor Who, what is the Doctor becoming?
Mm-hmm.
What is
Rose
are we becoming?
That. Rose says that flat out to the Doctor. What are you changing into?
And I think it's great here, the reversal, where the Doctor is purely running on emotion, like...
bad emotions, too.
Yeah, like primordial emotions.
Yeah, primal.
And Rose is becoming the protagonist in this episode, being the moral compass and being... able to stand up to the Doctor and tell him, no, you need to think about what you're doing. You're wrong.
But the Doctor has just done something so horrendous in killing his own people, or in his mind, killing his own people, killing all the Daleks. It doesn't have any justification if one of the Daleks survives.
Mm.
It's like he did this great, to him, sacrifice and horrible thing. And if the outcome is one Dalek can destroy a planet, then he did it for nothing. He needs... to have that completed. He needs to make it worth the sacrifice that was made.
Right.
Yeah, but as Rose was just saying, but this is a Dalek that just didn't kill Van Stanton.
No, I'm getting what you're saying, but I'm just trying to explain get in the head. Doctor's head. Not that he just wants to kill it,
right.
But it's like he needs that.
Like closure, almost.
Well, like what was it all for?
No, well, I mean, he just.
The amount of guilt of what you did and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Would drive him totally insane. He needs it to work, and so he needs the last Dalek to die so that it doesn't find some way to bring back the other Daleks or continue in generating new Daleks
because they can destroy its own
planet. So it's not in vain. Yeah. He's wrestling with that. And do I just kill this one that is not the same as all the others that have been killed?
I mean, do we know that yet? Do we know that the Doctor is the one that?
Yes.
In this episode, he does say he's killed all the Daleks. He killed the Time Lord. He made it happen. So he's taking responsibility for
what happened. I made it happen. And then later on, he said, I had no choice.
Okay.
Which is, you know, again, you're just kind of going, what? But we find out that the Doctor killed all the Daleks and Time Lords.
All right. So the Doctor realizes what he is becoming and puts down the big hairdryer. The doctor tells Rose that the exposure to his DNA, or her DNA, has mutated it into something other than a Dalek. The Dalek does not want to live that way. It pleads with Rose to give it the order to self-destruct. She reluctantly complies, and the Dalek explodes.
Wasn't it lucky that he didn't explode in a thermonuclear?
I know. I remember thinking, like, aren't they going to run?
Yeah. Like, okay. I'm glad your implosion was nice and self-contained without
taking out. They didn't know that was going to happen.
You know, half of Utah.
They didn't know that either, because this is the first time we've seen the Dalek the shield balls
come out
and do something. Because before it was just a purely design feature. Yeah. Now it's functional. So I don't think even the Doctor
knew Dalekanium.
But it goes along with his programming in that he's no longer Dalek. He is something
else.
Abhorrent to himself. Yeah, and so that's the thing that he wants to get rid of, and that's what he wants to kill.
Nothing else.
It's efficient.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just that he wants to have the most damage. It's just this is something he can't live with. This is horrendous to him, to being what he's fought for such a long time.
And I think
it's really sad.
Oh, yeah.
It's very sad.
This is the only time that the words exterminate carry such like sadness to it. I don't think that's ever, I mean, every time you hear exterminate, it's just the Dalek's calling card rather than a point of emotion.
The other thing I kind of got when he was asking Rose to command him to let him die, to like kill himself, I was kind of like, maybe feeling emotion, not just the other way of the I'm gross and this is not what I'm programmed to do, but feeling emotion was able to rationalize all the stuff that he had been doing or started to think about all the stuff that he's been doing and started feeling bad at how evil
I don't buy
he
that.
Is. No?
I'm not, yeah.
I mean, the Dalek does say things that it's no longer a Dalek. It doesn't like that. It can't live that way. It is having the human influence.
It's not happy that Rose is still alive. It's angry that Rose is still alive. It wants to know why Rose isn't dead. So it's really freaking out.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Because there's still Daleks.
True. With all that done, Diana Goddard takes charge of the whole facility and orders Van Stanton's mind wiped. Somewhere with an S.
That's because that's a callback to early in the beginning.
Somewhere with an M.
Right.
Yeah. Adam tells the Doctor and Rose that Goddard is closing the base and filling it completely with concrete. Where did she get enough concrete to go 53 floors? Anyway.
They built come on.
Rose can...
Plan B. They already had it, you know, in case something happens.
That's a big mixer. Anyway. Rose convinces the Doctor to let Adam join them, and the three of them enter the TARDIS. To be continued.
Yeah, they should have taken him.
I found it interesting in this episode that Davies had pitched this idea previously, and it was rejected.
By who? Like,
what do you mean? To the BBC. And he wanted to have a failed companion. And so that's why Adam is so prevalent in this episode.
Oh.
That's probably why we don't like him, because we know he's not going to be a companion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Is that the premise they rejected?
Yeah, the premise is...
When did he pitch it? What was it pitched for? I mean, this is the sixth episode of the season.
No, it was in the 80s.
It was, hold on, I'll find
it. The eighth Doctor, I think.
Really?
So this, it was, he was pitching a whole other series?
I think he was pitching to the...
Please don't bring things up unless you can fill out all the information. Yeah,
really. I wrote it down. It's somewhere here.
I remember, and I thought it was in a different, the eighth Doctor during
the
that time
doctor.
Period.
I think it was the sixth Doctor.
He was involved in that back then?
No, he was just a writer, young writer, having ideas and trying to pitch.
Oh, and he brought a pitch to...
Right.
the show, like a spec. Hey, I got an idea. Let's have a failed.
I mean, I know they adapted
pretty nebbish
novels, stories from the novels into episodes.
Can I go back to the Hydra connection? Because Van Staten is definitely, well, not definitely, but if there was a crossover, he would be head of Hydra. And I just saw the episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where the Van Stralsberg or Van Straberg kid was killed by Grant Ward. Also, the connections of selling alien technology or using alien technology to advance weaponry is kind of an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing. They probably stole it from Doctor Who. And we also have the guy named Simmons. And, of course, on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have Fitz and Simmons, who are our resident like tech people. Yeah,
I don't see the writing
stuff. So, yeah. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. totally ripped off Doctor Who to make this, to make their whole series.
It was the writer that had the original episode.
Yeah, not Baby, it was an audio drama from Big Finish.
That's what it was.
And it was called Jubilee.
Yeah, it was the sixth Doctor.
Well, when you're taking statin-based drugs, you're not supposed to have grapefruit juice. Simvastatin. And
thank you for sharing.
Cholesterol.
Would you like to take that back?
Which is a generic of Zocor, I think. So any listeners,
a joint venture,
put down that glass of grapefruit juice if you're taking.
So yeah, it was an audio drama.
Drunk.
Yeah, with a failed companion, and then Russell liked it, I guess. And
it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do like about it too. That it makes the companion seem that much more special. That not everyone can deal with this world, with this adventure.
But I also find it weird that Adam is considered a companion in canon, and I don't consider him.
I don't consider him a companion. Two episodes.
Yes, he is.
What?
Yeah, he traveled in the TARDIS.
Yeah, I don't consider him a companion.
There's only one episode he traveled.
In my book, still.
But I didn't hate him like you guys did. I just, you know, it's like everybody who starts out. But everybody who starts out,
you really like hearing this.
I didn't like him.
I didn't say, you know, it was great, but I don't hate him like they seem to hate him. It's like, okay, he's going to go with them on a trip, and next episode we can talk about how he changes him, how you see him more.
I also think,
but
that's
on this,
why.
I don't think he did anything really.
But I think that's why we have those feelings, because we know what happened. So it's hard to kind of separate whatever.
I don't know. There was just I didn't mind him on repeated viewing as much, because it seemed to fit the story.
And I think,
I did like that he was sort of. He had this like bravado to him when he was talking with the doctor, like, aren't I this cool scientist? Look at all this stuff. And the doctor's just dismissing everything like it's just toys. So it kind of knocked him down a peg. So I guess I did like him.
I did like the doctor telling Rose, kind of like as a kid getting a puppy, you have to feed it. You have to walk it. Oh, right. You know, Adam. Well, it's your responsibility. We're taking Adam along.
Also, I think in the original script, Adam was supposed to be the son of Van Staten.
Well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
So he would be the statin, which is the generic of, oh, forget, I can't finish the joke.
Just like that character in S.H.I.E.L.D. that went
into Yes, yes.
Anything else for this episode, guys?
So I'm curious. I don't know if this is a spoiler. But if it is, sorry, spoiler.
Possible spoiler.
Like,
So you know how the Daleks start making people into Daleks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if they open up that Dalek, will it be like a little person inside?
Which one? Open up which one?
Well, if you open up the practical Dalek, there's a person inside controlling it.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
But Kenny Baker's
the curtain
doing
too
days.
Far on that one, Eugene.
but you're talking
one of the
about,
time bandits.
That's true. But you're talking about the creature, the Dalek within the world. Mm-hmm. That we're I think it's just that head piece.
I think they would just mutate.
Oh, you mean if they open up the lower part?
Yeah. Well, they.
No,
all,
I think that.
No, I don't.
I think that's the whole being is that being that we saw.
No, but they're making people into Daleks. But,
But then they finally have the squid head guy.
They're only taking the part that emits hatred, and so that would be in the brain. They don't need the rest of the body because the tank, if you will, the housing of the Dalek, will keep the brain alive.
Yeah, I don't think it would be. I don't think they would keep all like. You wouldn't have arms and legs.
Because you don't need them.
Inside.
But then why do they have like tentacles in the eyeball?
Those are just
mutations.
The genetic mutation came out from Davros's.
Okay, so then it would create another kind of genetic mutation,
mm-hmm. yeah,
such as that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's also worth pointing out that this is probably the first time that the Daleks are introduced without Davros.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, because prior to that, Davros was their creator because of the retcon in Genesis of the Daleks.
In the old series.
In the old series.
All right.
Well. He may not have always been there, but I think he was always referenced.
This one, he's not mentioned at all.
Okay, who's Davros?
Yeah, he's talked about.
He is talked about.
He is talked about.
Not by name.
Davros is talked about.
In this episode?
But not by name. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Like, he's not outright referenced. If you know
what they have Dalek.
No, but if you know what they're talking about.
The Dalek episodes before Davros don't mention Davros.
No, you're talking about this episode, though.
Davros created the Daleks.
It's a retcon.
For those listening
and
for
us
who are a part of this podcast and don't know.
He was in one of the later episodes, which was...
We'll get there. Oh, you have already gone there.
Well, let's just tell people listening what the name of that episode was.
Journey's End?
The Journey's End. It was a two-parter.
Remember that?
Okay.
But he was introduced with Tom Baker and in Genesis of the Daleks.
Genesis of the Daleks.
Okay. And the Time Lords send Tom Baker's doctor,
and Sarah Jane.
To Skaro, which is the home planet of the Daleks, before the Daleks are created. And then they find out that the Dalek race were humanoids called Kalids. And Davros
was like the scientist.
Was the scientist who engineered perfect
war machines.
Perfect war machines to beat their foe. I can't remember what they were called. The other race.
The Dals? No, that's
Thals.
Thals. That's
Thals. And
come up with
he wipes,
naming
so
system.
Davros strips all emotion out of the Kalids, genetically mutates them, and shoves them into the Dalek armor.
Well, here, Kalids backwards is Dalek.
Yeah, see, that's why. Well, let me read this. Since his introduction in 1975, Genesis of the Daleks, Davros has appeared in every subsequent Dalek story in the original series run. He is not named in this episode, but the Doctor describes him as quote unquote, a genius, a man who was king of his own little world.
Just like Ben Stanton.
Yeah.
Mm.
That helps. It really does. It's just, I was just lost.
I don't know how to read you right now. Anyway.
We also didn't have any sonic screwdriver in this episode at all, I don't
think.
That's
true.
Yeah. I think that's cool.
Vince Tatt would have taken it.
So, would we use this as an introduction to a new Who viewer? Josh?
I don't think... At first I thought yes, but then I thought this isn't the usual Doctor that we see, and it's more poignant when you know the difference. So, no.
Just to know.
Frank?
I love this episode. I would say yes, because I think it sets up a lot of things that can be answered in other episodes that you don't need. I guess I could be wrong because other people who did watch it first are giving me that look.
10 minutes in. They were critical 10 minutes.
But I think it could be a good one to see if they would like what the Doctor is and some of the...
there's no fun Doctor in this episode, though. And that's a big draw to the series.
Yeah, but this is good.
True, I'm going to say yes, though, just because I think it's a really good episode.
Somebody's going to say
yes. Yeah, I would definitely say yes.
Okay.
Just because you see the character arc that the Doctor goes through in this mm-hmm. episode, where he starts and where he winds up at the end. I think it says a lot for the series as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Good. Albert.
Yeah, I really like the episode. I think it's probably one of the stronger episodes that I've seen, but as a first episode for somebody coming in fresh, I'm going to say no. Just because it is a different side of the Doctor that I feel like we should show, or a viewer should see, some of the happy, more lighter side of the Doctor before we get into the darkness.
Yeah. Kelsey.
And on rewatching this, I really like this episode as well. But the first time I watched it, this being my first episode ever of this reboot 2005 series, the episode is just, it was too talky and... Mm. Maybe even like too violent, like a lot of people just dying with like their skeletons showing.
Well,
for
200 people
a
did
minute.
Die in this episode, so that is a lot.
And
there's also torture.
And then the reveal of the dialect just like totally grossed me out.
I think that was the point, though.
Yeah. So yes or no? Even though this episode is amazing, I would have to say no based on personal experience.
Yeah, she can say it firsthand.
Yeah, that's true. For me, I'm torn too, because I really found myself just watching this episode, but as a new Who viewer to start off with, I don't know, maybe no. I'm going to have to go with no. So,
who knew?
So great episode, but not an introductory one that we would choose.
Have we had a unanimous vote yet?
I haven't been keeping track.
Well, we've had a couple of no's.
Well, we haven't had a unanimous,
no's.
Yeah, unanimous no's, but Rose.
That'd be a good band name.
I don't think we had even.
Unanimous no's.
With all of us here, we haven't had a unanimous.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that episode's coming.
Yeah. You've heard our views. What do you think of this episode? Is it too dark and missing the fun? Or does the drama make for a great episode? Let us know. Email us at whonewpodcast@gmail.com. So I guess that's it. That wraps it up for us for the Dalek episode, and we will see you when the future becomes the present.
You've just listened to an episode of Who Knew?
Our wonderful theme music is by Michael Grady. You can find his work at theuniverseexplodes.com.
You can find this show in several places. Follow us on Twitter at Who Knew Podcast. Subscribe, review, and listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher, or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/whonewpodcast.
All our episodes are on whonewpodcast.com. You can leave comments there or email us at whonewpodcast@gmail.com.
This podcast is inspired by Doctor Who, the longest-running sci-fi show in history, and especially the revival spearheaded by Russell T. Davis.
Thanks to Russell, Sidney Newman, Verity Lambert, Ron Grainer, and all of those involved in the adventures of our favorite Time Lord. Your work continues to inspire and entertain.